Okay. So the sound of the children is growing dim. Now, our speaker today is a lady whose life has what I would call a big reach. She's a bit like a butterfly in the garden, fluttering around, taking pollen from flower to flower. And she very kindly organized the bridal party for the bridal shower for Sherry the other day, which is an incredible event. Sounds like a lot of hard work went into that. But Verdun and Regina have devoted their lives really to reaching and loving the Kurdish people, in particular Turkish people in North London. And they do a fantastic work there. And it's a privilege to be part of their lives. And as well as being somebody with a big reach into lots of people's lives, Regina is a great preacher, and that's why she's going to be speaking today. So a big hand for Regina.
No pressure. Thank you, Nick. It is for me, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be here and to share with you a little bit more what God has been talking to me, actually. And it's amazing when God starts to teach us and we have to stop and listen to what he's saying, because our lives can change a lot. And that's the main reason why God speaks to us, because he wants us to change. He wants to make us better. And we have to have the time to stop and listen and digest everything. But today I'm going to talk about a basin and a towel. Now, before we start to think that I'm here to teach you how to maybe wash the dishes at home, or, I don't know, wash your clothes, I'm saying that I'm not. Sorry, I have to disappoint you. But if you need, I can teach you how to do. I can, honestly, because I taught this here how to wash my dishes so well. That is amazing, my dishwasher, you know. But I asked Verdun to come and to read the passage for us in John 13, verses 1 to 17. Because we love his Irish accent, don't we? Let's read.
Washing dishes. She actually said, this is true. She actually said, I want to marry a man with arms to carry my shopping. I want to marry a man who washes my dishes. Now she wants to marry a man who reads her passages for her. So, okay, it's true. Let's calm ourselves before the Lord and let's read his wonderful words in Scripture. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Okay, just let's close in with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your wonderful words. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for filling this place with your Holy Spirit already. Thank you, Lord, that we can read your words, Lord, and they are so personal. They apply to us and our lives. And I just ask, Lord, that you will anoint the lips of my wife today, Lord, that she will speak your words, that she will speak your truths, and that we will have a deeper understanding of your love for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much. Well, yes, today basically I'd like to talk about something very simple, but hopefully very profound. If you know me very well, you know that I love traveling. And it's not easy having family spread all over the world as I do. But because of that, I have the opportunity to travel quite a lot. And what I like best when I travel is to meet people and also to learn about their traditions. For example, when we lived in Turkey 16 years ago, we came across to the Turkish tradition of welcoming people in their homes. And they poured this beautiful lemon cologne in our hands as we came to the house. And that beautiful smell of lemon, you know, made me feel so welcome into their homes and made me feel so clean as well for some reason. But the Jewish people, if you can put this slide next one. The Jewish people also, they had lots of traditions, right? And in the days of Jesus, one of the traditions was when people came to their homes, they would wash their feet or give them water for them to wash their feet before they came in. Also, they had the tradition of washing people's feet before they sat down at the table for a meal. And that's what Jesus did his disciples. But I found very interesting because as Verdun read here, he tells Peter, "You don't understand what I'm doing. Later you will understand." What can you understand? Or what lesson can you learn for someone doing that? Sorry, can you go back? For someone doing that, washing your feet. And no, and that really bothered me, and I started to pray, and God started to show a little bit more what he was really trying to say. And from here, of course, we can learn that Jesus was teaching his disciples how to serve one another, okay? We know that. How to love one another, how to respect one another, showing that nobody's above anybody else. We are all the same. He taught them, you know, how to care for one another. That's what he was teaching them here in a very practical... you can just leave in the picture for a while. Yeah, thank you. In a very practical way, he was just teaching them all these practical things because that was a very practical lesson. But also here, he was teaching for me at least three spiritual truths. There is a spiritual dimension of what Jesus was doing that for his disciples. And you see, the gospel, the good news, is not complicated, is it? We complicate things, but it's not complicated at all. Jesus only needed a basin and a towel, nothing else. But through that, through washing the disciples' feet, he thought, the first truth for me, he was taught them, he was teaching them, he was proclaiming to them that they were welcomed. Do you remember The Jewish tradition was when people came into their homes, they would wash their feet, right? And how Jesus had the disciples at the table and he started to wash their feet. Jesus was telling the disciples, you are welcome into my kingdom. Washing their feet in a spiritual dimension, he was saying, you are welcome into my Father's house. I am welcoming you. You don't understand now what I'm doing for you, but later you will. I am welcoming you. You are welcome. The place where I'm going to, about to go, you are welcome to come to. You are my guest. As I said, he stopped the meal and started to wash their feet. He got down to his knee, probably, as we saw the picture, right? In a very humbling position, highlighting really his very humbling act of washing his disciples' feet. And through that very powerful action of washing the disciples' feet, Jesus was saying, I am the way. Remember? He said many times, I am the way. He said, I am the way because I came from the Father. And now the time has come where I have to go back to the Father. Because I came, I go back. I know the way. I am the only way. Have you heard people saying, I heard, all the way leads to God. That's not true. That's a lie. Because there is just one way. There is just one who came from there to earth and went back. That's why he's the way. Because he knows the way. He's the way, no other way. And that's what he was saying. I am the way because I came and I know how to take you there. You have to come through me because I am the host of heaven. Jesus is the host. As I said here again in the tradition, the host would welcome people, wash their feet to come into the house. And that what was Jesus was telling the disciples. I am the host of my Father's house. And I am here to show you the Father. If you have the Bible, I don't know. In the chapter 12, it's not there. But in the chapter 12, the verse 44, Jesus says something very beautiful. Then Jesus cried out, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. Do you want to see God? You look at Jesus. God, he says, when you see me, you see the one who sent me. He came to reveal the Father to us. He came to reveal who the Father was. God, he is the one with the Father. And as he washed his disciples' feet, he was saying, you are welcome into my kingdom. You are welcome, not just into my kingdom, but you are welcome into my Father's table. Come. Come to my Father's table. You know, the Father has prepared a beautiful, beautiful table for us, a beautiful meal, and he wants you to come. Sit down, have time, sit down, and feast with the Father. You are welcome into the Father's heart. That was what Jesus was saying. You know, took me 21 years of my life to find out this truth. Took me 21 years of my life. I know you think I'm 21, I'm not 21, right? I'm joking. Yes, I told my testimony here before. I don't want to go over, but for those who don't know me, I'm Brazilian, right? And I was born into a very Catholic family. And I was brought up knowing, you know, reading about God, reading about Jesus, going to Mass, going through all the Catholic stuff. And at the age of 17, I got married very young, and I was a mother when I was 18. But I was married to a very abusive relationship. I had a very abusive husband, a very violent husband. I know what is to have a gun down to my head. I know what is to have a knife point to my chest. I know what's to fear for my life, because that's what I had in my relationship. You know, at the age of 22, I had my second boy. And also, I was very depressed. I thought I had no reason for me to be alive. I could not find hope in my situation. You know, I knew what was to be betrayed time after time, and to be abused and to be not wanted. And I just felt horrible, and I was depressed, and I want the only solution I thought I could end the, you know, my misery was to kill myself. And the night I decided to kill myself, I kissed my children goodbye. I went to my mom's house to kiss her goodbye without her knowing, of course. And then as I closed the door behind me, I looked at my mom's wall, and there was a crucifix, right, with the cross with Jesus on it. And I thought, I said to Jesus in my mind, I said, you couldn't help yourself on the cross. How can you help me? And that was my despair. I could not see hope at all, nor even look at Jesus. And then as I closed the door, another thought came to my mind. And the thought was, go across the street and talk to he was a pastor from the Presbyterian Church, but he was the headmaster of the school where I was a teacher, primary teacher. So I went, and that night I told that man, the pastor, everything was going on in my life and what I was going to do. And at the same time, he started to tell me about Jesus, a Jesus that I did not know, a Jesus that I had never came across, and the Jesus that came from heaven, took the flesh, die on the cross to pay for my sins so I could be forgiven. A Jesus that loved me so much that he would, you know, bear my sin and my shame on the cross so I could be forgiven. And I had no shame anymore if I would just accept and let him to wash my feet. And that night, as I tell, I died, but I died for myself. And I accept Jesus. I accept Jesus and allowed him to wash my feet. Allow him to wash my sins away. And then after that, I start to go to church, right? As you do. I start to learn how to pray, learn how to read the Bible. I didn't read the Bible, never did in my life, even though I was Catholic. You know, I started to know more about God, going to church, knowing people. And then one day something happened. Have you ever been overwhelmed by someone welcoming you somewhere? Have you ever been overwhelmed by someone's welcoming? I was. Leandro know that. I was in the church, and the pastor from the front, you know, as Nick did earlier, was welcoming people, visitors. And he looked at me, and he mentioned my name, and he said, Regina. And he said, oh, but Regina is not a visitor, is not a guest anymore. She's part of the family. And, you know, you probably think, oh, that was nice. And probably was, but it freaked me out. I thought I was sitting there saying, oh, he thinks I'm part of this. I'm not. I'm here just to learn, you know. I'm not a Protestant, as they say in Brazil. Remember, in my days, it was very difficult to be a Protestant in Brazil, a very Catholic country. And I suffered abuse from my own family as I betrayed the faith. But anyway, inside me, I say, I'm not part of this. I'm not part of the family. And I left the church because I knew if I say, yes, I'm part of the family, I wouldn't go to that anymore. And that was my sin. I love that. I don't know if you know about Carnival in Brazil. It's mad, honestly. The whole country stops for a week. And people just like this, on the streets, playing, drinking, whatever. And that's the real carnival, by the way. It's not the one that you see on TV in Rio de Janeiro. That's not real carnival. This is the real carnival, right? Every city, every town, every village in Brazil, we have parties for the whole week. I loved it. I was brought up going with my father, with my brothers to carnival. And when that pastor said I was part of the family, I knew if I said yes, I had to stop going because believers like me, like those, didn't go to carnival. You know, they were too holy to be the carnival. They hide themselves away, like in a conference somewhere, and left the devil party. I changed that, by the way. You know, and then I left. I hide myself. They came to my house. I didn't answer the door. I didn't want anything to do with the people anymore. Until one day, maybe 2 or 3 months later, I stopped going to church. I stopped, you know, seeing people. And then Carnival came, and I went to Carnival with my brothers or my family. And I was there with everybody else, dancing, jumping, drinking. God did for me something that was so gracious. He opened my eyes. Have you ever had your spiritual eyes open? Not these eyes that you can see what you can see, as far as your vision can see, but the spiritual, well, the spiritual eyes. God opened my eyes, and I saw in people's shoulders demons, horrible creatures sitting in people's shoulders and making them doing what they were doing. I don't know, but I just saw that horrible, ugly creature sitting in people's shoulders. And I dropped to the floor, and in my heart I say, God, I don't belong here. This is not for me. This is not my place. I don't belong here. I don't want this for me. I got up and I told everybody who was my friends, I want to go home. And then we went home. That was evening, very late at night. Next morning, guess what? I went to the pastor. I'm here to stay. Pastor, I'm here. I'm here to stay. I'm here, Pastor, to devote my life to Jesus. I'm here to tell yes to Jesus. I'm here to say you can do whatever you want with my life. You know what? God, he welcomed so well. He welcomed in heaven so well. Nobody else loved me the way he did. Nobody else is able to give me what he has given me. He has given me freedom. He has given me hope. He saved me from death. He gave me respect. He served me. And I say, I'm here to do the same for him if I can. So I stay in the church. And I'll tell you a little bit later what I did anyway. But the second truth is, Jesus welcomed us in heaven. But the second one is, we are forgiven. That's what he was telling his disciples. Next one, please. That's what he was telling his disciples. We are forgiven. I forgive you. Just thinking. Jesus started washing the feet of those who later that evening, right, were going to abandon him. He washed the feet of Judas. Can you imagine the scene? Jesus lying down, washing Judas' feet, looking to his eyes, knowing that he was going to betray him. He sold him for money. He sold his loyalty for money. He washed the feet of Peter, who later on that evening was going to deny Jesus 3 times, swearing even the swear words of the day, reinforcing that he didn't know Jesus. Jesus washed the feet of the others who later that night were going to hide away in fear of the Jews. He washed the feet of those who, apart from John, were going to leave him alone while he was crucified. But he washed their feet anyway. And he was saying, I forgive you even before you do all these things to me. I am forgiving you even before you sin against me. This is the power of forgiveness. Now, have you ever washed someone's feet? Literally. I don't know if you have, but I had. We had. And it's a very humbling experience for both. People who, you know, had their feet washed, and for someone who is washing it. It's very humbling for some reason. You know, maybe you caught by surprise. You think you have a hole in your sock or something. You don't want people to see. But it's very, very humble, very touching. And we, Verdon and I, we had had the privilege and the honor to wash the feet of some great men and women of God who have given their lives to the work of God, and was an honor for us to wash their feet. But many years ago, God asked me to wash the feet of someone who really hurt and brought great pain to me and my family. And I can tell you, it wasn't easy. I didn't want to do that. I did not want to wash that person's feet. But I did anyway in obedience to God. But as I was washing this person's feet, here and here was more like, I don't want to wash this person's feet. This person doesn't deserve me to wash her feet. She has no merit whatsoever, which, you know, justify me, holy, to wash her feet. And I was battling my mind with that thought, you know. The Lord Jesus spoke to me and he said, Regina, I know she doesn't deserve no merit, you, for you to wash her feet. But either you didn't deserve or merit to have your feet washed by me, but I did it anyway. And I did it because I love you. Do the same. And that moment I'll say, okay, Jesus, stop this, but I will. I'll forgive. And I was able to forgive that person as I washed her feet and let her go and set myself free from bitterness as well. It was a very powerful experience. But that's grace. Grace is being given forgiveness we don't deserve. Jesus forgives us and he washes our sins away. Maybe some of us here, we need forgiveness. We need to ask Jesus or God to forgive us, to forgive our sins. Maybe you have never allowed Jesus to wash your feet. If you haven't, allow him to wash your feet, to wash your sins away. Or maybe you are tired. You are tired to walk around in life with your basin and your towel, serving people, washing people's feet, investing in people and having very little in return. Maybe you're tired of forgiving people and being betrayed again, being used again. You know, maybe you have just dropped your towel and your basin and you don't want to do it anymore. But as God has encouraged me, I'm here to encourage you as well to pick up your basin, pick up your towel and go around. Maybe you have to wash the feet of your husband. Maybe God's asking you to wash the feet of your wife. Maybe God's asking you, children, to wash the feet of your parents. Or parents, maybe you have to wash the feet of your children. Humbling yourself. There is power in being humble. Don't think being humble is a sign of weakness. There is power when God asks you to humble yourself. But Jesus washed the dirt of this world from his disciples' feet. And he has washed the dirt of our feet from this world as well. And the third one, the third truth that Jesus is proclaiming here is we are commissioned. We are commissioned on verse 13 to 17. You see, if you read the passage, you see Paul Peter, you know. I understand him. When Jesus came to him, he said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And that was a genuine question. Can you imagine Peter? He said, are you going to wash my feet? But you, I think he was thinking, you are Jesus. You fed thousands with five fish and three... Thank you. I forgot. I told you, I'm hopeless in maths. Anyway, you know, Peter was saying, you fed thousands with nothing. You told the storm to be quiet and they obeyed you. You are the Jesus who everybody who came sick left well. You are the Jesus who, when the demons came, they fled away from you. You are the Jesus who walked on the water and told me to walk on the water. And you are coming here to wash my feet. No, I think he thought, I should wash your feet. Now you washing my feet. But he said, Peter, you don't understand now. And if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you have no part with me. And that's what he's saying to you today. If you have no allowed Jesus to wash your feet, you have no part with him today. But he wants you. He's welcoming you. He's forgiving your sins. Peter has to make a decision that time, that moment, even though he didn't understand what God or Jesus was doing, say, okay, wash. Not just my feet, wash me, my head, you know. Say, no, you just need to have your feet washed. So Jesus did. And Jesus asked the question. He asked that question to his disciples. Do you understand what I have done for you? Do you understand what I have done for you? And he told them, go and do the same, if you understood. Jesus gave the example to his disciples. And he told the disciples to go and do the same. Remember, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples even before they sinned against him. But also, Jesus was washing those feet, preparing them to proclaim the good news of salvation and the good news of forgiveness. Those same feet, betrayed, denied 3 times, abandoned him at the cross, yet, apart from Judas, yet, those were the same feet that took the good news of salvation all over the world. You are here because of them. I'm here because of them. Those feet transformed the world, bringing the kingdom of heaven into people's lives. Those feet now were ready to bring people to the Father's table. Those feet were even ready to die for the kingdom of heaven and to the King Jesus, as almost all of them did. In Isaiah 52, verse 7, says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reign, your God reign, your God reign, your God reign. No matter what you're going through, no matter the situation you find, you have to remind yourself, your God reigns. He hasn't lost his throne. He's there. He's in control. You have to trust him. But at the same time, he's commissioned us. He's commissioned us to go. Now, I told you earlier about my testimony, how I came back to the church, to God, and I devoted myself to God because, as I said, you know, what else could I do for him? For the sacrifice he paid for me on the cross. And as I told you, I had a very unhappy marriage. I spent 4 years praying for my husband, and he became a believer. He gave his life to Jesus. And then 6 months after he gave his life to Jesus, I remind you that I was 29 and he was 29 years old as well. 6 months after, he went fishing and had a boat accident, and he died. And I was left, can you post? I was left with these 2 beautiful young boys. That's me, right? A long time ago. That was me with my 2 boys. And 3 months after my husband died, remember, when you were 29, you don't have life insurance, do you? You didn't have time to build anything, really. I was left with nothing apart from my 2 treasures. You know, I had nothing. And 3 months later, God spoke to me and said, Regina, I want you to come full time and follow me full time. No work, nothing. Just come and follow me. You know, and I say, okay, God, I'm in, but look at this. I have 2 boys to look after. I have 2 mouths to feed. I have to clothe them. I have to provide them with anything and everything. And God said, I will look after you and your children. I will look after you and I will look after your boys. And for 22 years, he has been doing that. I'm still here. He has never failed me. Never. And he will never fail me or you, because he's faithful to his promises. You just have to walk on them. Be faithful to him. Even when we are not faithful to him, he continues faithful to us. And I went to Bible college with my boys. You know, people thought I was mad. My family thought I was mad. But maybe we are, aren't we? And I had the privilege to travel around Brazil, preaching the good news. Traveled South America, some countries in South America as well. I did anything that God asked me to do. I even sang, and I can't sing. I told myself I can't sing. I'm the worship leader, and I wasn't. I sang, I did drama, we visit prisons, you know, we work with prostitutes at night. Whatever God, whatever the need was, wherever God told me to go, I went. You know, not always with my children, they stay sleepy. But remember the carnival was a big part of my life, I loved it. And God redeemed it because he's a God who redeems culture as well. And I ended up working, going to the carnival, but serving people, giving them water, praying for them, you know, helping those who were completely drunk or wherever, taking them to the hospitals or the ambulance people who were there. You know, we went back to the carnival to serve those people who didn't know Jesus. And then one day, I was in the Bible college, I think a year later, and we were learning about intercession. And then the leaders showed us a documentary about people. Sorry. I'm very emotional because it's so real, even to today. When God gives you a passion, you know, when God shows you his heart for people, how much he loves these people. And we were watching the documentary, and it was about North Iraq. I think it was during the Gulf War, where Saddam Hussein used the chemical weapons and killed thousands of Kurdish people. And as I was watching that documentary, and I saw, you know, families dead, children dead, men, women, and God spoke to me, and he said, Regina, would you go and tell them about my love? Would you go and tell them how much I desire them, how much they are welcome into my kingdom? Would you go and serve them? Would you go and tell them the good news of salvation? I said, I go, I will. I didn't even know who the Kurdish people were. Never heard of them before that time. I said, go, God, I go. I'll go. If you ask me, I'll go anywhere. And that's why I'm here today. I left Brazil, you know, with my two boys. Now they are growing up and they left me. They're very far away in America. I left my family. I left my comfort. I left my food. I left my carnival. I left everything, but God gave me so much. Near, I have some Kurdish friends here, Turkish friends as well here, and I have the privilege to meet so many of them and to be able to be God's hands and feet here, wherever he asked me to do. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, maybe God has spoken to you to serve him somewhere, somehow. And maybe you think, I can't, or whatever. You know, don't give your excuse to God. I had two very good ones. Where are they? I have two very good excuses to say, no, God, not me. Send someone else. Some are young woman, single. I had two very good. Don't say your excuses are better than mine, because they are not. I can guarantee you. But God can do anything when you say yes to him. He can use you mightily. And now he's asking you, do you understand what I have done for you? Do you understand what I have done for you? Jesus is asking you, do you understand what I have done for you? Do you? Go and do the same. Pick up your basin. Pick up your towel. Go around serving people. Are you tired? Ask God to give you strength. Are you disappointed? give your disappointment to him. And he will renew you. He will restore you. And that's what we want to do. We want to pray for you. If you are tired carrying your basin and your towel, we want to pray for new strength, for new hope, for new faith, that for new joy, so you can go around. Don't, you know, drop it. Go around serving people. You are serving God, not only people. And also we want to pray for you, even if you haven't accepted Jesus, if you haven't allowed him to wash your feet or to wash your sins away. He's welcoming you here today. And he's washing you from your sins. And he's commissioning you to go and follow him. Do the same. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, what can we say? What can we do for you, Father? Your example, Lord Jesus, is so great. We can't do anything by ourselves, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit. We need your presence, Jesus. We need you. But Lord, I want to say thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for welcoming us so well. You overwhelmed us with your love for us, with you, the way you welcome us in heaven, the way you welcome us in your Father's table. Thank you, Jesus, for your forgiveness. We don't deserve, Lord, but you forgave us anyway. You loved us and you forgave us again, time and time again. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for trusting us, for asking us to go and follow your example. Thank you for empowering us, Lord, to go and love people, serve people. Just show us your heart, Lord Jesus. We need to see your heart for our husbands, our wives, our children, our neighbors, for this nation, for other nations. Maybe you are calling here people here, Lord, to go across, to go to other parts, to work with other group of people. I just pray for courage, Lord Jesus, that these people will find courage in you, inspiration in you, and in the disciples as well, to go wherever you want to send them, Lord. Wherever you want to send us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We are so thankful to you. And we want to spend the rest of our life, to give the best of us, the best days of our lives, the health we have, Lord Jesus, to you, Father, so we can wash people's feet and we can welcome them into your kingdom, saying that forgiveness is for everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
The musicians would like to come up. I think it would be lovely if we could sing that song we sang earlier, O Come to the Altar, because that's what we're being called to do, isn't it? I was very touched by Regina. She said, do you understand what I have done for you? And I understand a little bit of what he's done in giving his life for us. But he wants us to go, doesn't he? We must obey. I was reading yesterday where Jesus said, if you obey me, then I will manifest myself to you. But if we don't obey him, we lose that privilege of him actually revealing himself to us. So we must obey, and obey quickly when God is calling us. So let's stand, shall we? As we sing this song, O Come to the Altar.
As I was praying this week, and I was asking God, you know, a direction, like for prayers. And I really do believe that God showed me three things. First, he showed me someone who is really struggling with the faith, even to believe that God exists, really. And I just want to know, if you even give God the last chance to show that he's real, he's telling you he's real. And he wants to meet with you today. And also, I saw a very young person finding very hard, needing to choose between almost like Christ and this world, as if the world is pulling you really hard backwards. And I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you as well. And the last one was, as I was praying, I saw this like a hole, being someone digging a hole. And I felt like someone was burying a long last dream, maybe because you gave up. And I saw Jesus, you know, and digging it again, pulling it back. And he wants to give this dream back to you. And you think that, you know, you have given up. It's a long kind of dream you've been waiting for. I believe Jesus is saying that it's coming. It's coming. Don't give up. Amen.
Amen. So as we worship, let's respond. Regina and Ferdinand are going to be here at the front, and they would love to pray for you. So let's come to the altar. The altar is in heaven. It's called the throne of grace, where we are told to come boldly. And the pathway to that throne is it's a red carpet. It's the blood of Jesus that's been shed for us to come to him. He washes our feet with his own blood. That's the incredible thing. Sit down. If you could grab a seat. Apologies for starting a bit later. Lots of things happening. In fact, lots of visitors, lots of old friends, lots of people to talk to, which is really what we're all about, isn't it? And the second verse. Sometimes it's good as we start to actually think about the words that we're singing. It's very easy, isn't it, to just like... Sometimes you could sing your whole way through a Sunday morning and not even connect with the words. I know because I've done it myself. But it's really good to actually think about the words that we're singing so that we can really direct our praise to God. The only praise that is meaningful is when we mean what we're saying to God. So it's good to think about it. So the first line of this, if you go back again, Phil... The first, holy, holy, holy. You know, these words are almost too holy to even just mention in passing. Because one of the things that they're singing in heaven this morning is they're singing holy, holy, holy. And when Isaiah had a glimpse of heaven, he fell on his face as the angels were worshiping God, saying that he is very holy, our God. And even though this is a fast song, it's good to remember the holiness of God. And then the second part of this, it goes, worthy to receive glory. God this morning is the only one that is worthy to receive glory. He does all the good stuff on earth. And if there's any good stuff done, it's he's behind it, isn't he? So he's worthy to receive all the glory. So let's stand, shall we, as we sing this song and really engage with these words. Father, we just thank you this morning that you are a holy God. Father, we thank you that you are holy. Jesus, you are holy. Spirit, you are called the Holy Spirit. And you are worthy today to receive all the glory. Not some of the glory, but all the glory belongs to you. And Father, would you help us this morning to worship you, to direct our thoughts upon you, Lord. And as we fix our gaze upon you, Lord, would you come amongst us today, Lord? Would you visit our hearts individually? Would you reveal your own glory to us today, in Jesus' name, amen. Do any of the children know what these poppies are all about? You seen them worn? Aha! You tell me, Daniel. It's the people that died in the war. That's right. And so today, across the United Kingdom, New Zealand, Australia, and many places, particularly during the Second and First World War, make a big point of remembering once a year all the people that died, not just in the First and Second World War, but in subsequent wars. And we like to remember also some of the conflicts that are going on today in order to buy us the peace that we have. And I'm sure that we all have people we know who are touched by war, and we are grateful for where there is a just cause and people lay down their lives so that we can have that freedom. In this country, it's such a peaceful country compared to many other places. It's sometimes we forget that there's an awful lot of terrible stuff going on around the world. So we really like to take this opportunity to thank God for that. And so around the country at just this time, there will be people who will be just being quiet for 1 minute and having 1 minute silence. So we're going to join them with that. And Raywin, do you want to just come? And at the end of that minute, then Raywin's just going to pray and thank God. So shall we stand? And we're just going to, just for 1 minute, we're going to think about the people who have given their lives so that we can have freedom. And then we're going to pray.
Before I pray, I just wanted to read the words that are engraved on the Cenotaph War Memorials and the headstones in the war cemeteries throughout the English-speaking world, and the words that are recited at remembrance services in Britain and Canada, Australia and New Zealand. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Lord, today I thank you that we can remember every man and woman who fought to protect and defend our nation and still are fighting to protect nations. Lord, we want to remember the men and women who have given us the freedom and the safety that we enjoy today, and who laid down their lives that we can live the lives that we live today. Jesus, I thank you that you also laid down your life that we would have freedom and victory. You laid down your life that you would defend us and protect us. And Lord, we want to remember that as well today. Amen.
Amen. First of all, just want to say it's really nice to see lots of new or kind of visiting or haven't seen for a long time people here today. So it's a great opportunity to turn around to somebody you maybe don't know so well and say, hello, aren't you happy that we've got, it's nice and warm in here today, something to talk about. This is your greeting opportunity. Don't be shy. Great. Well, Verdun, would you like to come up, Verdun? Sarah is here, actually, but she said, it would be nice to hear a different voice, wouldn't it? And knowing that you are never lost for words, Verdun.
Nick said, say something nice about ACOS. ACOS is nice. It's wonderful, actually, because London is a lonely place. And especially for new people coming into London, they don't have friends. So ECOS is a place where they can meet friends. Not only that, they can practice speaking English. So are we packed out today? So we need people to come today to help. You can see how well prepared I am here. We need people today. That's all, really. That's it. If you come, you will enjoy it and you'll make wonderful friends. And you're showing Jesus' love for them, as well as your love. Thank you.
Thank you, Verdun. Just to say, it's at 1 o'clock, so if you've never helped on ECOS before, it's really easy. All you have to do is to speak half-decent English. And we have about 15 or so people will come, and they'll be here to just converse English, talk about anything. And we can link you with somebody, and it's in a classroom at the back. So 1 o'clock, if you're available, then Sarah here, do you want to wave a hand? Or Verdon, then find them, and just come and sit. There's lovely biscuits and nice coffee too. Okay, Deeper Waters film. This Tuesday, our good friend Cliff Nelson is going to be with us. He's very excited about it. Jules from Chalk Farm Baptist Church is going to lead the worship. And he said, literally, I said, just a reminder, Jules, he said, I'm very excited. So come along on Tuesday at 7:30. The purpose of these meetings is to really ask things from God. There are, I know, many great needs in the church and of your friends, and it's God loves us to come to that altar and actually ask him for those things. So it's an opportunity to get together and really pray for some of those tough things that people are going through. So it says prayer and personal revival. So if you're feeling a bit dry in your Christian life, you're struggling, you're stuck, come along and receive prayer. We're going to have a great time. 7:30 this Tuesday, Highgate Road Chapel, which is just round the corner. And it's on the details are on the newsletter. John March, I got this from his WhatsApp picture. Very cool man. He now has a beard. He's the vicar of St. Luke's, Kentish Town, and I've been trying to get him to come for a long time, and he's going to come next Sunday and share with us. So that's very exciting. And yes, just to say a little bit about Christmas, thank you for all the people that have done those wonderful Christmas boxes. There's double that number, and we'll be taking them off this week. Our first Christmas event is, have you got Chris Stingle there, Phil? No, Chris Stingle. Okay, it's hidden there somewhere. Don't worry. Okay, Chris Stingle. It's a fantastic event. It's celebrating it's the beginning of Advent. The kids make oranges and flames and candles and sweets, and we begin the whole Christmas season. It's fantastic. And then soon after that, the 15th of December, the carol service. Has anybody got a carol service invitation on their seat? There were a few around. Don't worry, there's a whole lot of them at the back. So it looks like this, and you can start handing them around to your friends, because it's a wonderful event. More people come to this event than anybody else, than anything else that we do. So great event to invite people too, and we're going to be building up to that. So now is the time when the children go out, but before they do, just to say that Flame are going to Costa, is that right, Michelle? Tribe. Oh gosh, sorry to disappoint Joe. It's going to be a lot of disappointed kids this morning. So Tribe are going with Michelle. So gather outside in the lobby, and you're going to Costa. Okay, so children, teenagers out. There's a very short interlude. If you're really thirsty, you can go and grab a quick drink and then rush back to your seat.